We bid you welcome in the Saviour's name to our evening gospel service, our family night, and we trust and pray the Lord will bless each one of us as we've gathered in the house of God this evening. We're going to open our service by singing together the words of the hymn 331, sing the wondrous love of Jesus, sing his mercy and his grace in the mansions bright and blessed, he'll prepare for us a place. Seats and we'll sing that final verse again. Onward to the prize before us, soon his beauty we'll behold. But you know the chorus says, when we all get to heaven. Maybe that's not the case here tonight. Or maybe not all for heaven. You might be at church and that's good. You might be many things. But are you in Christ? And I trust you'll think about these words as we sing them. When we all get to heaven, what a day of rejoicing and chorus. Remaining seated, think upon the words, please. And let's sing our very best.
Yeah.
Let's unite our hearts together in prayer. Let's all seek the Lord's face in prayer. Let's earnestly pray that the Lord will bless our coming together in the house of God this evening. Our loving Father, we rejoice that we can sing the words that we've just rendered to thee in praise. When we all get to heaven, what a day of rejoicing that will be. We look forward with expectation, not because of any good in us, but we thank thee for the imputed righteousness of Christ. We rejoice in the one tonight who is our Redeemer. And we thank thee that the Lord Jesus Christ, the one who loved us and gave himself for us, has so provided for us a redemption that one day we will be with him forever and forever. We thank thee for the glorious hope of the gospel. And we pray, our loving Father, as we've gathered together in this service tonight, that thou wilt enable us not only to rejoice outwardly, but inwardly in our souls, to render to thee all the praise and all of the glory for thy great goodness to us. We thank thee for the cross work of Christ. We thank thee that the hymn writer could pen it well when he said, God loved a world of sinners lost, and ruined by the fall, salvation full at highest cost. He offers free to all. Oh, 'twas love, 'twas wondrous love, the love of God to me, that brought my Saviour from above to die on Calvary. We thank thee for what the Saviour endured. We thank thee that the one who was just, yet he became sin for us. And we thank thee tonight that through the righteousness of Christ we are accepted in the presence of a holy God. And so, our loving Father, we pray as we come to the house of God this evening again, we pray that thou will be with us. We pray that thou will help us in our prayers. We pray that as we read thy word and as thy servant will come to proclaim thy truth, we pray that thou will fill him with the power of the Holy Ghost. We thank thee for thy word to our hearts this morning, and we pray that each day thou will enable us to know what it is to call unto thee. And we thank thee, the promise is, I will answer thee and show thee great and mighty things which we know not. And so, our Father in heaven, we're not unmindful of those who may be amongst us tonight and they know not Christ. We pray that tonight they'll render and they'll cry unto thee, the sinner's cry. God, be merciful to me, the sinner. And we pray that this will be the night of their redemption. May there not be one who will leave this service, but that they have made their calling and election sure, and they know that they have been redeemed by the precious blood of Christ. We thank thee for this time in the house of God, and we're not unmindful of those who cannot be with us. We thank of those of our congregation that are laid aside at this time. We pray for them. We pray that they might know the healing touch of the Lord to be upon them. We remember those tonight who sorrow because of the passing of a loved one. We pray, Father in heaven, that thou wilt be with those families that tonight have been plunged into great sadness, even in our own town. We pray, Father in heaven, that thou wilt be with each one who tonight mourn the passing of a dear father. Remember the Morrison family. We pray for them. We pray that in the midst of their sorrow, that they might, Lord, look away to Christ. Might look away to the one who is the God of all comfort and the God of all grace. And in the midst of their sorrow, they might find the sweet abiding presence of the risen Christ. Father in heaven, we thank thee for those that have gone to the land of Romania. We pray that thou will bless their Reverend Park and Mrs. Park and the group that are there. Keep thy hand upon them and give them journey mercies as they travel home. And we thank thee for the labor that thou has enabled them to do during the time that they've been in that land. So continue with us tonight. Presence thyself with us, we pray, for we ask these things in the Savior's name. Amen. Amen. We bid you welcome in the Savior's name. It's good to see all who've come. We trust and pray that as you have joined us this evening, that you'll know the Lord's blessing. And we welcome those who are amongst us, some visitors from Portadown. You're always very welcome in Hebron. We're also glad tonight to have with us the pastor of Kirray Baptist, I think. That's our brother, Brother Bowles, who's sitting down there. We thank you for coming. The Lord bless you as you're with us tonight. And to any others who are visiting with us, we trust that the Lord will bless you as you visit with us here. And to those who are joining us on Sermon Audio, wherever you are, we trust and pray that as you've joined us here at Hebron, that you'll know the Lord's presence, and above all, that God's word will be a blessing to your heart. Announcements, as you know, our guest speaker for today has been the Reverend John Gray, the minister of our congregation in Tandragee, a close personal friend of the Reverend Parks, and we pray that our brother, as he was blessed this morning, and the Lord certainly had a word for our congregation and for our own hearts, and we trust and pray that as our brother comes again, that the Lord will bless him. I think Mr. Park reaches a significant birthday before the Reverend Gray. Mr. Park, of course, you know, has a significant birthday tomorrow. Not that we want to remind him of that, and if he's watching in, we will just remind him of that. It's the second anniversary of his 30th, so you can work that out for yourself as to what age he is. But he gets there before Brother Joe. I think he is maybe a few months to go, and then he catches up with him. But the Lord bless our brother as he comes. Do remember the outreach team in Romania, as they return home. You've seen some of the videos and some of the photographs on how the Lord has been with them, even as they have laboured for the Lord there in Timișoara. The midweek service, time of Bible study and prayer, is on Thursday evening at 8 p.m. and Jonathan will be coming this Thursday and next Thursday, the following Thursday, to take the prayer meeting before he then becomes the same as the rest of us. I was going to say something, I better not, because Christine's here and she'll only give me a touch when I get home. But he'll be happily married. Remember Jonathan and Lauren, it's good that they're with us this evening, and trust and pray the Lord will bless them as they come together on the 20th to become man and wife. So remember Jonathan as he takes the prayer meeting on Thursday evening. Next Lord's Day, the unordained time of prayer at 8 a.m. and the morning worship service, when Lord willing, the Reverend Park will be back again to minister God's word. The Lord's table will be held after the morning service, and the Reverend Park will preach again at the evening time at 7 o'clock, preceded by the time of prayer at 6:30. Thank you for your tithes and gifts and offerings to God's work. Today is Let the Bible Speak envelopes and the Missionary Covenant support. Next week will be the Building Fund envelopes. During the month of August, from the 15th to 19th of August, we have our Youth Challenge, the football camp from 2:30 to 5, and the meeting then between 7 and 8 p.m. Parents' Night then on the Lord's Day, the 21st of August. This is the flyer in regards to the soccer camp. Do pray for this endeavour. The guest coach will be Stuart McPherson, who is a nephew of the former Northern Ireland international, the late George Best. And then our summer camp, our summer youth challenge here in Hebron, when our two guest speakers will be Christina Logan, who we had at the prayer meeting on Thursday night past, and her brother Noel Shields. Those who are continually upon our thoughts and prayer requests, do remember these individuals. I trust they'll never just become names, but they are friends, members, acquaintances of our congregation here at Hebron, and we trust and pray that the Lord will touch those that need a particular touch from him, and that in the midst of their circumstances they might know the nearness of the Lord's presence. We're going to sing together again the hymn 341. Someday we'll stand before the judgment bar, the quick, the risen dead. The Lord will then make known the record there. Our names will all be read. And then the chorus says, I'll be present when the roll was called. Wonder, will you be present? Will you be there on that great day when we stand in the presence of an almighty God? Or will you be absent? Because for you it is a lost eternity, and not well done, thy good and faithful servant, enter in to thy rest. Think upon these words, someday we'll stand before the judgment bar. We'll stand together while we sing, please. Let's all stand together. Again, we bid welcome to our evening gospel service, Reverend Gray. We trust as it comes now to minister God's word, and we know the help of God in the preaching of the gospel. Reverend Gray.
I'd like to thank our brother Mervyn for leading the meeting for me this evening, and our brother Phil this morning. And we're delighted again to be with you in the gospel service tonight, in the Saviour's precious name. Now, I must wish the Reverend Park a happy birthday. His birthday always comes before mine. You see, I'm the younger of the two. But that figure of 60 is coming very soon for us all, believe you me. But we are praying for Mr. Park and his wife and family continually as they serve the Lord here in Hebron. And we do pray that the Lord will give them safe journeys on Tuesday, and then as he takes up the work again here, that you'll know the blessing of the Lord in the days that lie ahead. If you have your Bible with you this evening, please turn to Luke's Gospel, chapter 23. I just want to read a few verses, very familiar verses from this chapter, Luke chapter 23. And then when you find Luke 23, turn over to Proverbs chapter 14. For that's where we're going to find our text for this evening. Tonight, at the end of our gospel service, I want to preach on the subject, dying with hope and dying with no hope. Dying with hope and dying with no hope. Luke chapter 23, verse 39. And one of the malefactors which were hanged railed on him, saying, "If thou be Christ, save thyself and us." But the other answering rebuked him, saying, "Dost not thou fear God, seeing thou art in the same condemnation? And we indeed justly, for we receive the due reward of our deeds. But this man hath done nothing amiss." And he said unto Jesus, "Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom." And Jesus said unto him, "Verily I say unto thee, today, today, shalt thou be with me in paradise." Then our text for tonight, Proverbs chapter 14. And it's the verse 32. "The wicked is driven away in his wickedness, but the righteous hath hope in his death." The wicked is driven away in his wickedness, but the righteous hath hope in his death. Let's all bow in a wee word of prayer. We know the Lord will bless the reading, the public reading of his precious word to all of our hearts. Father in heaven, we do thank thee and praise thee for your presence with us again this evening. Indeed, for your presence with us today. We can truly say this is the day that the Lord hath made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. We're so thankful that we're found again in the house of God with the people of God, around the word of God, worshiping the God of heaven. And oh God, as we come now to the close of this another gospel service, we do pray, Lord, that you would come and speak to hearts. We think of those in the meeting this evening who are still strangers to grace and to God. We pray, Lord, that you would speak to their hearts particularly. We pray for a moving of God, the Holy Spirit, in their lives. For we know that except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain that build it. We pray tonight, Lord, that you would hide man far behind the cross, that none would be seen save Jesus only. We pray, Lord, that you would close us in with yourself this evening. And, oh God, we pray for those who are unsaved, that even tonight they would come and put their faith and trust in the Lord Jesus as their Savior. Lord, encourage your own people. We thank thee for the saints of God that worship here. And we pray, Lord, that you would bless them abundantly. Bless your servant who labors here. And, oh God, we pray that the Reverend Park and his wife and family would know in these days the blessing of God upon them. Lord, undertake for us now and help us, Lord, just to say those things that will be pleasing to thee. For it's in Jesus' precious name we ask it. Amen. Death is something that we all have to face. The Bible says that it is appointed unto men once to die. Job said, "For I know that thou wilt bring me to death and to the house appointed for all living." Indeed, Job said on another occasion, "God hath appointed our bounds that we cannot pass." Of course, the problem with death is that we do not know when we will die. The day of our death, the moment of our death, is hidden from us. Isaac said in Genesis 27, verse 2, "Now I am old, I know not the day of my death." However, although we do not know the precise moment of our death, death is a certainty for each and every one of us. Therefore, the question is not if we will die. The question is when and how we will die. In our text tonight, in Proverbs chapter 14, God reveals to us that there are two different ways to die. And very simply, as we come to consider this text of Scripture this evening, I want us to notice what is said here about dying with hope and dying with no hope. And my friend, if you're found in the meeting tonight and you're not saved, you're not a Christian, you're not born again of the Spirit of God, I want you to listen very carefully, because there's a very simple message here for your heart. It's a solemn message, but it's a very simple message. And I pray that God, the Holy Spirit, will take the message tonight and burn it within your heart and within your soul. My friend, your greatest need tonight is to be saved by the grace of God. And that's our prayer for you this evening, that you will come and put your faith and trust in the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sins of the world. I want you to notice, first of all, however, the description of the child of God. I wonder, did you notice the wonderful description here in this text of the child of God? Look what it says. It says, and I want you to underline this little phrase in the text, "but the righteous." You know, God's people are described many different ways throughout the Bible. We're described as Christians, as the saints of God, as believers, as the redeemed, as pilgrims, as the church of the firstborn. But here in this text in Proverbs 14, verse 32, God's people are described as the righteous. And throughout the Bible, both in the Old Testament and the New Testament, God's people are described in this way at least 96 times. So it's a very common description of God's people, and yet it's a very wonderful description. The word righteous here literally means the just. That's what it literally means. It is speaking about the Christian's spiritual standing in Christ. If you're saved tonight, if you're born again of the Spirit of God tonight, then this description of the righteous or the just, it is describing your spiritual standing in Christ. Therefore, it is not talking about what the Christian has done for God. Rather, it is referring to what God has done for the Christian. What God has done for the child of God. What has God done for the Christian? Well, God, through the death and resurrection of Christ, has made the Christian righteous or just before Him forever. Therefore, this description, the righteous, is referring to the salvation or to the redemption that the child of God has received from God because of God's mercy and God's grace. The day you were saved, you became righteous through Christ by His precious blood. That day you called upon the Lord, child of God. And we can all look back to that day in our lives. If we're saved tonight, when the Lord reached down and plucked us as brands from the burning, but that day we became righteous before God in Jesus Christ. We all are familiar with that verse in Romans 5, verse 1. "Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ." You see, the child of God is one who has been made righteous before God through Christ. All their sins have been forgiven, and they stand perfect before God through the blood of the Lamb. What a wonderful description we have here of the child of God. Oh, I wonder, do you ever think of those wonderful words that the hymn writer penned? When I stand before the throne, dressed in beauty not my own, when I see thee as thou art, love thee with unsinning heart, then, Lord, shall I fully know, not till then, how much I owe. It's not the truth, child of God. It'll not be until we stand before our Creator on that day, redeemed for time and for eternity, in heaven itself, we'll only begin to fully understand the wonderful redemption and salvation that God has bestowed upon us. Oh, the privilege to be called one of the righteous. Let me ask you a question tonight. Before we go any further, are you one of the righteous? Are you one of the just? Are you one that has been pardoned and cleansed and saved by the grace of God through the blood of Jesus Christ? Can you honestly say tonight, as you sit in this gospel meeting, that you're ready for heaven, that you're bound for glory because you have been made righteous before God through Jesus Christ and his precious, precious blood? You said to me, how do you become one of the righteous? How do you become one of the just? Well, turn over just for a moment to Luke's Gospel, chapter 18. And you'll see there very simply how you can become one of the just, one of the righteous, one of the saved, one of the redeemed. In this portion of Scripture, we read a parable. And look what it says in verse 13 of Luke chapter 18. And the publican, it's the parable about the publican and the Pharisee going up into the temple. And of course, take the time to read it and you'll find out that the Pharisee went and up and to the temple and he prayed thus with himself, but his prayers never reached any higher than the temple ceiling. He knew nothing about justification and he knew nothing about salvation. But the old publican, standing afar off, look at verse 13, would not lift up as much as his eyes unto God, but smote upon his breast, saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. Look at verse 14. I tell you that this man went down to his house justified rather than the other. For every one that exalteth himself shall be abased, and he that humbleth himself shall be exalted. There we have the answer. My friend, if you want to become one of the just, one of the righteous, what do you need to do tonight? You need to fall on your knees before God. You need to repent of your sin. You need to, by faith, trust Christ as your Savior. You need to recognize that you are the sinner, that you can't save yourself. You need to recognize that only Jesus Christ can save you through the merits of his precious blood that he shed upon the cross of Calvary. And thank God, if you come as a sinner to Jesus, confessing your sin to him, repenting of your sin, and by faith trusting him alone as your own and personal Redeemer, then you can be saved tonight. You can become one of the just, one of the righteous. And although you may have come into this meeting in your sin on your way to hell, thank God you can leave this meeting tonight redeemed and justified before God with all your sins forgiven and pardoned. But you've got to take the sinner's place and you've got to cry, God, be merciful to me, the sinner. You see, the hardest thing for the sinner to do is to admit that they're the sinner. Oh, my friend, are you willing tonight, you who are not saved, you who are still far away from Christ, you who are still on the broad road which leads to destruction, are you willing to take the sinner's place tonight and recognize that you need God's salvation and God's redemption that is found in Jesus Christ and in Jesus Christ alone? Oh, the description of the Christian, the description of God's people that we have here, the righteous child of God. Let us always praise the Lord for the day when he saved us and the day he redeemed us, the day he made us just and righteous in his sight through the blood of the Lamb. But take a look at the text again in Proverbs chapter 14. I want you to notice, secondly, that the text draws our attention to the death of the child of God. Look what it says, but the righteous hath hope in his death. Even the child of God will die. Even those that God has made righteous before him through Christ will die. But I want you to notice here how the child of God will die. How the righteous die. It says, but the righteous hath hope in his death. Now, what does that mean? The righteous hath hope in his death. Well, the word hope there in the text, it has a very wonderful meaning. It means a sure expectation. Now, if you've got a pen, you write that down in the margin of your Bible beside that word hope. That's what the word hope there in the text literally means. In fact, it means something more. It means refuge. Therefore, this text is speaking about the refuge that the child of God will have when they come to die. It is speaking about the sure expectation of the righteous at death. When it says that the righteous hath hope in his death, it means that the child of God is sure of heaven because they have a refuge. It is revealing unto us the blessed hope or the eternal hope of the Christian. What is the eternal hope of the Christian? Heaven. Who is the eternal refuge of the Christian? Christ. What is the expectation of the Christian? A home in heaven for all eternity with Christ because of the work that he has accomplished upon the cross of Calvary. You see, men and women, gospel hope is a sure hope. Never compare gospel hope with the type of hope that men talk about in this world today. You know, one of the questions I ask people when I am speaking to them about the things of the Lord, I will say to them, are you going to heaven? Are you going to heaven? Now, 99% of the time, this is the way they answer that question. I hope I'm going to heaven. Isn't that right? Have you ever asked that question to an unconverted man, an unconverted woman, child of God? Are you going to heaven? 9 times out of 10, they'll say, I hope I'm going to heaven. In other words, what they really mean is this, that they're not sure that they're going to heaven. They're not sure that they're going to heaven. But friend, gospel hope is completely different. When the Bible speaks about hope, the Bible is speaking about something that is definite and something that is sure. Therefore, when the Bible says that the righteous hath hope in his death, it means that the righteous has a solid foundation and a definite prospect for eternity. Now, let me ask you a question tonight again. Have you got that definite assurance, that refuge for eternity, Christ? Do you know 100% sure? Are you 100% sure that if you died right now in the pew that you're sitting, that it would be absent from the body and present with the Lord? My friend, that's the hope that the Christian has. That's the assurance that the Christian has. A sure expectation because we have a refuge in Jesus Christ. I'm going to heaven not because I've done something that merits heaven. I'm going to heaven not because I deserve heaven. Indeed, the opposite is the case. If I was to get my due reward, I would be cast out of the sight of God for all eternity because of sin, because of my sin. But because of what Jesus Christ has accomplished upon the cross and because of his resurrection, thank God, because of his death and resurrection, all who call upon Christ for salvation receive everlasting life and receive this hope, this sure expectation. Keep your hand in Proverbs chapter 14 for a moment and turn over to 1 Peter chapter 1 because Peter speaks about this hope. Take a look there at verse 3 of 1 Peter chapter 1. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy hath begotten us again unto a lively hope. Or if you like, a living expectation by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled and that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you, who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. Look at verse 9. Receiving the end of your faith, even the salvation of your souls. Oh, here we have the blessed hope of the child of God. Paul described it like this: for I know whom I have believed, and I'm persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day. My friend, have you this blessed hope? Have you this sure expectation? Do you know that heaven is your home? Have you got this confidence, not in yourself, but in Christ the Savior? Because that's why the Christian can say that they're on their way to heaven. That's why the child of God can say with confidence that they're on their way to glory. Not because of what they have done, but because of what he has done. Not because of what they have accomplished, but because of what Christ has accomplished on the middle tree on Golgotha's brow. Oh, I have no other argument. I need no other plea. It is enough that Jesus died, and that he died for me. My hope is built on nothing less but Jesus' blood and righteousness. I dare not trust the sweetest frame, but wholly lean on Jesus' name. The Apostle Paul had this hope, this sure expectation. Here's what he said before he died: for I am now ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand. I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. Henceforth there is laid up for me a crown. There is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day, and not to me only, but unto all them that love his appearing. And of course, that was the blessed hope and the blessed assurance that the Lord Jesus Christ gave the dying thief. That portion of scripture that we read, that we all know so well, when Jesus said, "Today shalt thou be with me in paradise." Oh, my friend, I'm going home to glory soon, to see the city bright, to walk the golden streets of heaven and bask in God's own light. But some of you are out of Christ and held by many a snare. We cannot leave you lost and lone. We want you over there. Thank God you too tonight can have this blessed hope. You too tonight can have this sure expectation. You too tonight can have this assurance that heaven is your home. The righteous hath hope in his death. It literally means that the righteous has a sure expectation when they come to die, it's heaven for all eternity, because they have a refuge in Jesus Christ. Have you that refuge tonight in Jesus Christ? But look at the text again. I want you to notice thirdly, and this is very important, I want you to notice the distinction that God makes between the righteous and the wicked, between the saved and the unsaved. You see, there's a distinction made here, and there's a contrast. And it's important, especially if you're in the gospel meeting tonight and you're not saved, it's important that you see this contrast and this distinction. Look what it says. It says, "The wicked is driven away in his wickedness, but the righteous hath hope in his death." God here makes a distinction between the righteous and the wicked, between the saved and the unsaved. God here makes a distinction between the death of the righteous and the death of the wicked. And he makes a distinction between the eternal destinies of the righteous and the wicked. All men will not get into heaven. This phrase, I want you to think about this for a moment, especially if you're in the meeting and you're not saved, if you're listening on and you're not saved, this phrase, "driven away." The wicked is driven away. You know what it literally means? It literally means thrust down or driven down. Now, here's the question. Where will the wicked, where will the unsaved be driven down to at death? Well, the answer is this, a death. And remember, this text is not only speaking about the death of the righteous, it is also speaking about the death of the wicked, the unsaved. A death, the unsaved or the wicked will be driven down to hell forever. That's what the text is teaching. The wicked shall be turned into hell, the Bible says, and all nations that forget God. Whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. This text is referring to the eternal destiny of the wicked compared to the eternal destiny of the righteous. What the whole text is teaching is this. At death, the unsaved or the wicked, they have no refuge. They have no hope of heaven, and because of this, they will be driven away from God's presence forever into a lost eternity, while the righteous, because they have a refuge, which is Christ, because they have a sure hope, a death, they will go to heaven for all eternity. My friend, that's the teaching of the text. That's the teaching of the Word of God this evening. Oh, this contrast between the saved and the unsaved, and where they will spend eternity can be seen over and over again throughout the Word of God. You remember the words of the Lord Jesus in Matthew chapter 7, verses 13 and 14. Jesus said, "Enter ye in at the straight gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction, and many there be which go in thereat, because straight is the gate and narrow is the way which leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it." In John 3, verse 36, it says, "He that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life, and he that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him." Romans 6, verse 23, "For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through our Lord Jesus Christ." And I could go on quoting text after text after text that shows us this great distinction that God makes, not the preacher, that God makes, not the church, not the denomination, but this distinction that God makes between the death of the righteous and the death of the unsaved. My friend, here's the question. Are you one of the righteous, or are you one of the unsaved, one of the wicked? You see, in this meeting tonight, as God looks down into this meeting, and believe you me, God is here tonight, for the Bible says that where two or three are gathered together in his name, there he is in the midst and not to bless. God is here tonight. As he looks down into this meeting, he only sees two classes of people. He sees the saved and he sees the unsaved. He sees those who are ready for heaven and those who are not ready for heaven. He sees those who, when they die, they have hope, eternal hope, and he sees those who have no hope. Friend, if you're not saved tonight, let me say very lovingly and very tenderly to you this evening, if you're not saved, you have no hope for eternity. You can come to this church for the rest of your life. You can pay your tithe into this church week by week. You can love listening to those who preach and those who sing and take part. And you can play out the act of religion in your life, but if you're not saved, you have no hope. You have no hope for eternity. What will you plead before God on the day of judgment when you stand before him? What will you plead? Well, I went to Hebron Free Presbyterian Church, and I was a good supporter of the minister in the session, and I paid well into that church, and I sought to live the best that I could. It'll never get you into heaven. It'll never save your soul. My friend, if you're not trusting in Jesus Christ and in him alone for your eternal redemption, then you've no hope for eternity. And when you come to die, you will be driven away in your sin, but the righteous will go to be with Christ for all eternity. Those who have hope and those who have no hope. I know in this 21st century, of course, men and women don't believe in judgment, the judgment of God, and they don't believe in hell, and they don't believe in an eternal destiny for the wicked. But my friend, here's one text And if I haven't explained it right tonight, then you can explain it to me after the meeting is over. I'll take the time to talk to you, and I'll sit down with you, and you can explain what this text means. But I'm telling you tonight, on the authority of God's word, that this text means simply this, that if you're saved, you're bound for heaven. Heaven is your hope. Heaven is your home. Heaven is your sure expectation. But if you're not, you have no hope. For tonight you're without God, without Christ, and without hope. In Deuteronomy 30, verse 19, we read these words. I call heaven and earth to record this day against you, that I have set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Therefore choose life, that both thou and thy seed may live. My friend, when we preach the gospel, we set before men and women life and death. Every time the gospel is preached, the preacher, through the word of God, is setting before men and women heaven or hell. And you've got to choose tonight where you want to spend eternity. Now, I know this is a message you hear every week, very faithfully every week. But the truth is this, you may not be here next Sunday to hear the Reverend Park preach, because the Bible says, boast not thyself of tomorrow, for thou knowest not what a day may bring forth. Our lives are very brief. Life at best is very brief, like the falling of a leaf, like the binding of a sheaf, all be in time. While the voice of Jesus calls you, be in time. The Holy Spirit tonight is working in your heart, I believe. I believe there are those in this meeting, those listening on, and the Lord has been speaking to your soul. And tonight again, the Spirit of God is striving with you. Listen, the Bible says, indeed God says, my Spirit shall not always strive with man. That's why you need to come tonight. That's why you need to come now. That's why you need to seek the Lord while he may be found, and call upon him while he is near. Dying with hope and dying with no hope. The wicked are driven away in their wickedness. But the righteous, praise God, the righteous, hath hope in his death. Oh, may God give you the grace to come to Christ tonight and be saved. We're here as God's servant. If you'd like to speak to us, wait behind in the meeting. Don't go away home tonight again with worldly hope, hoping in a worldly sense, oh, I'll squeeze into heaven, I'll get there, because you'll not get there. But thank God, I can assure you of this, if you have Jesus Christ in the vessel, if you have Jesus Christ in your heart, if you know the Lord as your Redeemer, then you have hope. And praise God, it is a sure hope, and it's a sure expectation. Come to Christ tonight. Let us all pray. Father in heaven, we thank thee and we praise thee for thy precious word tonight again to our hearts. We thank thee for the teaching of the scriptures of truth. Oh God, I pray that men and women and young people tonight, that they'll not be hearers only, but that they'll be doers. And Lord, that they will come and put their faith and trust in the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sins of the world. Bless thy word tonight. And as the voice of man is silent, we pray, Lord, that the still, small voice of God would work on in souls. Draw the sinner to the Savior. Oh God, teach men and women tonight that it's not enough just to have a wee bit of religion in their life. They need to have Christ in their heart. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness. Oh God, draw sinners to the Savior this evening. And we'll be very careful to give to thee the praise, the glory, and every bit of the honor. For it's in Jesus' precious name we ask it. Amen.
Thanks, Reverend Gray, for the faithful preaching of God's word. Closing hymn is the hymn 462, "'Tis so sweet to trust in Jesus, just to take him at his word, just to rest upon his promise, just to know, thus saith the Lord." Richard Baxter, the old Puritan, said, "Heaven will pay for any loss we may suffer to gain it, but nothing can pay for the loss of heaven." I trust we'll think upon the message that we've heard, that if you're not in Christ, that this will be the night that you will be able to say, "'Tis so sweet to trust in Jesus." I meant to say that there is tea for all who are here this evening, and you're invited to stay. We trust that you'll be able to stay with us for a time of fellowship around a cup of tea. And as we sing this closing hymn, maybe our Pastor Bowles, will come to the pulpit and we'll ask him to close in prayer and to give thanks for the food. Standing while we sing, "'Tis so sweet to trust in Jesus."
Let's just pray. Father, we thank you this evening for the truth that we have heard even from your precious word and from the mouth of your servant tonight. Father, we thank you simply tonight for the wonderful hope that we have in the Lord Jesus Christ. Father, we thank you tonight that we don't hope in anything that we could conjure up ourselves. We don't hope even in our denominations. We don't conjure up any hope even in the things we do in life. All the deeds, all the money, all the different things that we're able to accumulate, as good as they may be in and of themselves, Father, we realize that one day when we stand before thee, they will melt away into obscurity. But the one hope that will stand will be the wonderful sacrifice of the Lord Jesus Christ at the place which is called Calvary. Father, tonight we pray if there's some, or maybe even more than one here tonight, young or old, whatever age, it matters not. Father, we pray tonight that they wouldn't leave this place without knowing that sure and certain hope that one day when it comes to that service that waits us all, that funeral service, that the minister will be able to say with confidence that they had a sure and certain hope. Father, we thank you tonight for this service, for this opportunity for sinners to get saved, to get right before a holy God. Father, we thank you for the things that have been provided for our benefit, and Father, we pray that you would bless them to our bodies. For those that must leave us at this time, we pray that you would grant them journeying mercies onward home. Father, we ask all these things in and through your precious and most worthy name. Amen.